I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. 2019 marks a big anniversary for Europe. 30 years ago, the Iron Curtain came down. Piece by piece, it fell apart over the course of 1989 in Poland, Hungary, East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, and then Romania. I was in Paris on Christmas that year and will never forget seeing the bodies on live TV of Nicolae Ceausescu, the Romanian dictator, and his wife Elena, slumped in the courtyard where they had just been executed, then covered with canvas.
Christmas Day, 1989. Nicolae and Elena Ceausescu have just been sentenced to death. Defiant to the last, they shout insults at their captors. Minutes later, they're taken outside and shot. It's a brutal end to a brutal regime that had lasted for 24 years.
And here we are, almost 30 years later. My BBC colleague Robert Nicholson takes a look at one massive piece of Ceausescu's legacy in post-communist Romania, the so-called People's Palace, the dictator commissioned for the capital, Bucharest.
The Palace of the Parliament, as it's now known, is the second largest building in the world after the Pentagon. It has over 1,000 rooms and covers 365,000 square metres. 1 million cubic metres of marble went into its construction.
My name is Elidor Popa and I'm an architect, and in 1983 I was hired in the collective who worked of the House of the Republic.
Eliodor Popa was one of the lead architects behind what was originally called the House of the Republic. Built over the course of 10 years and left unfinished when Ceausescu died, it now houses the Romanian Parliament, though the vast majority of those 1,000 rooms are unused.
Architecture is still not finished. Some parts of the facade, which I designed, are collapsing. Huge stone parts are falling because it is not maintained.
The palace was initially designed to stand as the centrepiece of a policy of mass systemization of Bucharest's building stock. The idea was prompted by an earthquake that killed over 1,500 Romanians in 1977. Carina Radulescu was living in central Bucharest when the earthquake struck.
My father took me and my sister, one in each hand, and we ran away. We didn't know at that moment what was happening until we get through to the center to go to my grandmother's house, and we passed the city center that was almost totally destroyed.
For most of her childhood, Carina and her family had lived an idyllic life. She describes the historic area of Bucharest where they lived as being like an island, sheltered from many of the regime's worst excesses.
Because in the island, everything was perfect. What I remember from my childhood was not a horrible regime, but I remember the linden and the jasmine smell from the streets, the music from the open windows, the classical music. That was my childhood.
But after the earthquake, the Romanian government noted that buildings constructed during the communist era had stood up better than those built between the wars. This was seen as proof of the regime's superiority and led to a widespread redevelopment of the city centre. Locals ironically termed it Ceaușima, a combination of the words Ceausescu and Hiroshima, to describe the mass demolition of historic buildings and homes in Bucharest. It was all to make way for standardised apartment blocks and the Palace of the People. Carina's parents knew it was only a matter of time before they were moved out of their home, but they hid the truth from their children.
One day, we've been in vacation, me and my sister, and we came home and we saw our house almost destroyed. From that moment, I start dreaming about rebuilding the house. And over the years, talking to my friends from that time, I discovered that everybody was dreaming the same.
In all, nearly 10,000 homes were demolished to make way for the building. Work on it began in 1984. Eliodor Popa remembers it as a chaotically busy project.
In order to achieve such an investment in a short time, huge efforts had to be made. We used to work day and night. with no holidays, just working continuously, in order to be able to have the necessary labor force to accomplish the objective, the government was bringing workers and architects from all over the country.
Just explain to me a little bit, because I think people will hear this and will hear the story and will think, but Ceausescu was this awful dictator. How could you work for him? How could you go into work every day to help build this enormous monument that was a monument to him in lots of ways?
The whole of Romania worked for him. The people who now try to appear as dissidents didn't say a thing back then. On the contrary, they were very pleased to work on something like this. Of course, things have changed and people have changed too.
Over the next 5 years, President Ceausescu continued to plough money and manpower into building the palace. It's estimated that construction involved 700 architects and 20,000 building workers doing three shifts a day, plus 5,000 military personnel and an army of so-called volunteers. But by late 1989, Ceausescu was the last Eastern European dictator still in power, and dissent was growing.
Mare manifestări populare din București.
On December 21st, the embattled Ceausescu made one last attempt to regain control when he addressed a large crowd in what was to be his last speech. But the crowd turned on him, and he and his wife Elena fled in a helicopter.
The change started when I was at our headquarters near the Politburo. I saw when he left, and I still have the manifesto thrown from the helicopter. From then, things seemed strange, unnatural, abnormal. The following day, I was going to work, walking between tanks, and I saw blood on stairs of the subway. At that time, we were shocked. We couldn't think normally.
3 days later, Nicolae and Elena Ceausescu were executed at a military base outside Bucharest. Work on the palace continued for another 5 years. Despite all the negative associations surrounding its construction, Eliodor Popa remains proud of the work he did on the palace.
I have some certain reservations, but I'm so proud of working on that building.
For Carina Radulescu, though, the building stands as a stark and cruel reminder of everything she and thousands of others lost.
Nobody wanted to move. There was a lot of stories with my neighbors that had heart attacks, that died after that, because they couldn't move on. Everybody was mourning in silence.
Carina Radulescu there speaking to Robert Nicholson and the BBC's Witness program, looking back at the second largest building in the world in Bucharest, Romania, the grandiose folly of Nicolae Ceausescu. This is The World.